Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1475, air date August 27th, 2024.
For the Challenger, we did offer the Challenger an opportunity to present. They did not respond. So we have no presentation today from the Challenger. I'm going to ask staff to begin by providing their analysis of this. And I believe that's Attorney Witeka. Please go ahead.
Yes, appreciate that, Chairwoman Jacobs. So essentially, the staff did here verify just over 3,000 signatures, 3,014. But this is not a challenge to the signatures themselves within the nomination papers. This is a challenge under the constitutional requirement of natural born citizenship for federal candidates, particularly Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the U.S. Constitution. And it was tied to EL Code 2.07 and WISSTAT 8.20 by the challenger in their original challenge complaint document. Along with that complaint did come a couple of supporting exhibits, including some documentation from the state of Utah that was filed by the candidate, as well as a transcript of a federal case that was brought by the candidate proactively seeking to ensure that states would not limit his ballot access for the very reason that we're here today. That matter was not ripe at the time, and so it did not move forward, but it was submitted as part of the record because there was an admission on the record that candidate Ayodhya was naturally born in what was then called Bombay, India. The response itself largely refutes the claims based on standing and arguments pertaining to the Electoral College and whether or not the commission has the authority to essentially render a decision on the type of relief that's being asked here and whether the complainant sufficiently had standing to bring this complaint as it was. The standing arguments are primarily tied to civil procedure statutes in the code. And so I think we need not really address those challenges as much as we essentially need to look at whether or not the candidate is a natural born citizen as is required and whether the commission can thus render a decision on that matter here today. In large part, and I will say the challenger did raise the Trump versus Anderson case, which is part of a swath of case law out there that does exist that notes that states should avoid a patchwork of decisions, particularly with presidential offices and nominations, and you know should not be interpreting constitutional qualifications for those federal offices. There are a few smaller examples in the case law that we found that might support certain types of qualification decisions. And indeed, even with this particular candidate, the state of New Jersey and its courts subsequently after an administrative law judge and the Secretary of State rendered their decisions, the courts also supported the decisions to not grant ballot access to the candidate in that state as well. I think the difficulty of citing the Trump case is that it was looking at the 14th Amendment, quote-unquote, insurrection clause. The court did note in that particular case that Congress has the authority to render these types of decisions. And I do largely agree with that assessment, and I do understand the court's analysis that it wishes to avoid a patchwork of decisions that may not be like-minded or the same in their outcome for candidates for federal offices. The difficulty that the commission is particularly faced here with, though, is the language within Wisconsin statutes itself. And so in this case, we emphasize some provisions of Chapter 8.30 of the statutes that says, except as otherwise provided in the section, the official or agency, basically the filing officer, are required, with whom the DOCs are required to be filed may refuse to place a candidate's name on the ballot if any of the following apply. Specifically, sub B says by the admission of the candidate or otherwise, the candidate is ineligible to be nominated or elected. And then sub C says the candidate, if elected, could not qualify for the office sought within the time allowed by the law based on qualification, age, qualifications, like age, residence, or other impediments. And so in this particular instance, I believe the commission is faced with a question of direct statutory language to assess these very types of qualifications from Chapter 8 of the statutes, along with some of the other provisions of statute that kind of are tied or tethered to that provision, such as the DOC-specific requirements that would require a candidate to assert that they are qualified for the office that they're seeking and the like. And so there's a recommended motion here along with this memorandum that essentially would recommend to the commission that the challenge be sustained.
Commissioner Millis.
So isn't the question really whether or not Wisconsin law that would apply in this case to a candidate for president? Mm-hmm. The question would be whether or not the Supreme Court's decision in Trump versus Anderson invalidates that law, right?
And yeah, and there are other federal cases as well that we uncovered that had similar assessments of the law. That's not the most perfectly analogous case because, again, it's completely examining another provision of the Constitution, specifically the 14th Amendment, which has a subsection that says Congress has the authority to kind of determine and enforce those things. So we're looking at a different subsection that isn't as clear in its directive, if you will, that Congress would render those decisions. And the reality is, this is kind of a net new question that really has not been decided fully in the courts. Some legal experts have suggested that the precise meaning of this natural born citizenship requirement might never be decided by the courts because it's arguably a political question, you know, that should be placed before Congress. But again, I think the specifics of our statute required that we put this before the commission because we believed we had the obligation to review under 8.30, particularly where the challenge was raised by a party.
Thanks.
Other questions for staff? Okay. As I stated, there is no appearance by the challenger. And then we have two presentations from the respondents because both Shiva Ayudare and the electors were named in the challenge. So we will begin with Shiva Ayudare to present to the commission.
Good morning. I have 5 minutes. Is that right?
You do, and you may begin.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayudare. I'm representing myself pro se. Anyone can run for president of the United States. Running for president cannot be conflated with being president. I was asked to appear by this honored commission to provide my response to the quote-unquote challenge posed to this commission concerning the nomination papers of the 10 presidential elector candidates of Wisconsin, who include Frank Marshall, Vicki Marshall, and 8 other elector candidates who are running for the office of elector for president and vice president in Wisconsin, who have pledged candidates for president and vice president to be me, Dr. Shiva, and Crystal Ellis, respectively. I'm a resident of the state of Massachusetts and prohibited from running as a presidential elector candidate in Wisconsin. Therefore, this commission has no subject matter or personal jurisdiction over me, nor can accept quote-unquote challenges to my qualifications to be a pledged candidate of the 10 presidential elector candidates. As I noted in my detailed motion to dismiss with case law, the objector challenger who filed this defective quote-unquote challenge either does not understand the basic workings of the Electoral College or is intentionally filing a defective challenge, thinking he can unfortunately hoodwink this commission or the citizens of Wisconsin to deny the First and 14th Amendment rights of the thousands of people of Wisconsin who nominated those 10 presidential elector candidates, citizens of the great state of Wisconsin, and who are the actual candidates for office of elector in Wisconsin. Furthermore, the challenger's petition has not provided any evidence contesting or challenging the elector candidate's nomination papers pursuant to Wisconsin Code EL207, Wisconsin Legislator Code 8.2, or pursuant to any of the kinds of challenges identified in the Wisconsin Election Commission's document entitled Wisconsin Nomination Paper Challenges. Those codes, furthermore, have nothing to do with the qualifications for being president. The nomination papers of the 10 presidential elector candidates met and exceeded the requirements of the Wisconsin Election Code. They were beyond perfect. Obviously, the commission is already aware of this fact. However, to protect the record, we must remind this commission as to why the challenger's complaint is defective. Per the Electoral College, pursuant to the United States Constitution, the office of President and Vice President of the United States have never been offices filled or voted by the Wisconsin voters at the general election. On November 5th, 2024, the people of Wisconsin are voting for the office of elector for the President and Vice President of the United States. Many judges, many lawyers, unfortunately, do not understand this. It's unfortunate. At this time, the only challenge that can be reviewed by this commission are ones within its jurisdictional purview, and if made against the electoral candidates who are the actual candidates running for office, which is not I. As I understand, no challenge pursuant to Wisconsin Election Code in the time frame per the election code was filed by this challenger against the candidates. The challenger's heading says Hoffman versus Dr. Shivaya Dure. Therefore, his challenge is moot. At best, this quote-unquote challenge by this Trump supporter is simply based on ignorance, violating the basic foundation of the United States, and at worst, malicious to intentionally deny the voters of Wisconsin the right to vote for these 10 presidential elector candidates. The presidential elector candidates work hard day and night to gather the necessary signatures. To repeat, none of the nomination papers or any aspect or the qualification of the elector candidates has been challenged. In the event those electors are elected and appointed on December 17th by the Wisconsin State Legislature to be the presidential electors, and those electors vote for me as their pledged candidate, then and only then can the qualifications of the pledged candidate be brought into question. And such qualifications can only be questioned by Congress. The purview, scope, and jurisdiction of this election commission is to the nomination papers filed by those presidential elector candidates. Any questions or challenges to those candidates' qualification is within the purview of this jurisdiction, which has not been challenged. The Trump supporter to file this challenge knows well the people of Wisconsin want alternatives to Trump and Kamala Harris. These slates of electors provide such an alternative. It is ironic that this defective challenger wants us to forget the March 24th Trump versus Anderson ruling, where the Supreme Court unequivocally in a 9-0 ruling asserted that only Congress can qualify or disqualify candidates for federal office. They have purview over state offices. Finally, in closing, must be reminded that a slate of presidential electors can choose anyone to be their candidate. You, me, Mickey Mouse, Vladimir Putin, a 10-year-old, black, white, yellow, crippled, naturalized, natural-born, citizen, non-citizen. In fact, since 1970, presidential elector candidates have appeared on the state ballots who have pledged candidates such as Linda Jenness, Roger Clare, or Larry Holmes, who were not, quote-unquote, qualified to be president. But they're presidential elector candidates that fulfilled all the state's election codes to be on the ballot. Roger Clare was a New England citizen, and his electors were placed on the ballot. In fact, right here in Wisconsin, Larry Holmes was...
That was time, Dr. Ayudari.
Oh, was placed on the ballot in Wisconsin in 1984 without any challenge.
Okay. So, are there questions for Dr. Ayudari from the commission? Commissioner Thompson, then Commissioner Spindell.
Dr. Shiva, explain to me your theory on slates of presidential electors and how do they decide to pick you under Wisconsin law?
Well, to answer that question, are you aware that Larry Holmes was put on the ballot in Wisconsin? He was 32 years old in 1984. So we can go to, it's not the law of Wisconsin, it's the law of the United States Constitution. When people vote for in a state, they're not directly voting for the office of president. They're voting for the office of electors. And those office of electors can decide whoever they want to pledge the candidates to. It's called the First Amendment, the right to association, the right to free speech. The electors, that's why in the state of Wisconsin, 1984, a slate of presidential electors chose Larry Holmes, who was not anywhere near the question of natural born or naturalized, which we can get to if we want to. But nonetheless, his presidential elector slate was put on by this election commission in 1984, even though he was 32 years old. So the issue is, it is a right of the First Amendment. Anyone can run for office. And we must reassert the foundations of this country, the First Amendment. To get back to what one of the people said, ultimately, this is a very interesting area. It's a non-justiciable issue. And it is about the political doctrine that rules this. It is not up to the states. The states have a very narrow purview to review the nomination papers, to make sure the qualifications of those presidential electors up to par, which these presidential electors up to par.
Commissioner Spindell, you were next.
Yes, Dr. Shiva, why do you think that the founders or the writers of the Constitution put these three requirements into the Constitution? Natural born citizen, 35 years of age, resident of the United States for at least 14 years. What was the reasoning behind that from your
study? Yeah, it's a great question. Who is that? Mr. Spindell, thank you. It's a wonderful question. I will give my analysis of it, but I also assert you to the work of John Yinger, wonderful scholar at Syracuse University. The founders, in my view, were looking for people to be loyal to the United States Constitution. We must understand that the founders carved out naturalized citizens. At the time of the Constitution, there were tens of thousands of people who were naturalized citizens. Seven of them who signed the Constitution were naturalized citizens. They were allowed to be run and be president, okay? Natural born was never defined in the Constitution. After the debates took place, which we don't have review over, Madison and Hamilton had many, many disconcerting views that this would create second-class citizenship. About 20 years later, the Marquis de Lafayette, who was born in France, all of his heirs were deemed to be natural born citizens. Now, we have to understand this is in 1700s. One of the concepts was, would people be loyal? So obviously naturalized citizens at the time they carved out to be loyal. Marquis de Lafayette was seen to be loyal, and they thought that natural born people would be loyal. Obviously we know that's not true today. We have many, you can just look at Congress, how much disloyalty takes place against this country. But the 14th Amendment and the 19th Amendment cannot be forgotten. Equal. The 14th Amendment says that a natural born citizen and a naturalized citizen are equal. Now, I have 4 degrees from MIT. Equal means equal. And I think you learned that in second grade. There's no sometimes equal, sometimes not equal. But I don't want to go there if we want to, but it is absolutely wrong to have two classes of citizenship in the United States. In the examples that I gave, there have been multiple examples since 1970 where people who are not quote unquote qualified. Roger Calero was a Nicaraguan citizen. He was put on, his electors were put on the ballot, not once, but twice, 2004 and 2008. This is a foundation of the Electoral College. Every state has the purview over the office of electors. And if those office of electors choose a particular candidate, a pledged candidate, on December 17th and thereafter is when Congress can decide, oh, those guys, theoretically, we can all get together and we can say we want Vladimir Putin and we run and get our nomination papers. And it is Congress that can decide Vladimir Putin is unqualified. That would be at that point. So, but okay. I believe it, to answer your question.
That's fine, sir.
It was about
I understand loyalty. What you're saying.
It was loyalty.
I understand what you're saying. Can you? I understand what you're saying. From my remembrance of studying political science, one of the reasons that they put that in there is that they were afraid that if they did not, that perhaps some royal family member from England or some other country could come over and be elected president.
That was
and so they were definitely yeah. They were definitely afraid of that, and therefore I think that's certainly the reason that, in my opinion, that they put that in there.
Yeah, I don't come from a royal family, so you don't have to worry about that. And I also want to make aware that when you take the oath of allegiance to be a naturalized citizen, the oath that I take is far more, you know, powerful than the oath that a quote unquote natural born, which is not defined, ever has to take. And the 14th Amendment exists. The Constitution moves forward. If it wasn't for the 14th Amendment and the application of the Equal Protection Clause of the 19th Amendment, Kamala Harris would not be able to run for president of the United States. We have one America, one citizenship. There's not two Americas. Again, Larry Holmes was put on the ballot in the state of Wisconsin, even though he was quote unquote disqualified, because Your jurisdiction is not to the pledge candidate. It is to the Office of Electors, period. And I don't mean any disrespect by saying that.
Okay. Do any other commissioners have any questions for Dr. Ayadure? Okay, hearing none, thank you. You'll be removed back to our attendee list.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, we are now back to just the commissioners.
Is there a second person that's speaking, which you indicated?
Nope, they did not respond to multiple requests if they wanted to speak, and so nobody is showing up to support the challenge. I guess they're relying on their pleadings.
There is a second person that asked to.
Oh, present. That's right. My apologies. The elector, thank you. Bob, if that's who you were referring to, I apologize. Frank Marshall, who I believe is one of the proposed electors, wishes to speak. And since the complaint was also against them, he is permitted to speak. So once he arrives, he will also have 5 minutes.
I believe we have Mr. Marshall on.
Mr. Marshall, are you able to turn on your camera?
I'm trying. Can you hear me right now?
We can hear you. We do prefer, when possible, people appear with their cameras on, and we do ask if that is possible that you do so. If it's not possible for technological reasons, you can proceed by voice only.
Okay, you can hear me and see me?
Can't see you.
We can hear you. We cannot see you. We show your camera is still off.
I'm sorry. I don't.
I've been on several Zoom calls
and it's always worked, but it's not working right now.
Okay. Well, you can appear by voice. You will have 5 minutes and you may begin now.
Okay, I, Frank Robert Marshall, a U.S. citizen over the age of 18 years old, am a registered voter to qualify to be a president-elector candidate for the office of elector in the upcoming November 5th general election in the state of Wisconsin. I am one of 10 presidential elector candidates on the slate of independent presidential elector candidates who pledged candidate for president and vice president is Dr. Shiva and Crystal Hollis, respectively, neither of whom are residents of the state of Wisconsin. In the November 5th, 2024 general election to be held in Wisconsin, the slate of 10 presidential elector candidates that include my wife, Vicki, and I are the candidates running for the office of elector in Wisconsin. To be clear, Dr. Shiva and Crystal Ellis are not candidates running for that office of elector, nor the office of president on November 5th, 2024. This is a fundamental principle of how the Electoral College operates that this commission is surely aware of. Specifically, Wisconsin Election Code 8.25, Election of the State and Federal Officers, paragraph one, the last sentence states, a vote for the president and vice president nominations of any party is a vote for the electors of the nominees. Let me repeat that. A vote for the president and vice president nominations of any party is a vote for the electors of the nominees. So we, me and my nine other presidential electors, are the candidates in the November 5th general election. We have never been served any challenge to the nomination papers concerning our candidacy as presidential electors for the November 5th, 2024 general election. In fact, we have documented evidence that our nomination papers for Wisconsin election code are in full compliance and have met and exceed the qualifications for us to be the presidential elector candidates. We submitted all documents in a timely manner. We have been accepted by the Wisconsin Election Commission. Specifically, we submitted 3197. They approved 3,014, well over the 2,000. That one needed to be verified by the Wisconsin Election Commission, and we're listed on a badgered voters Wisconsin.gov under 2024 independent presidential candidate. The election code, chapter 8, states that a challenge to our nomination papers must be served upon the candidates no later than August 9th, and such challenge cannot be amended after that. We are the candidates, and we have not received any challenge or objection as of August 9th, the deadline for such challenges. We did hear about a challenge that made our pledged candidate, who is not a resident of Wisconsin. He is not the candidate running for the office of elector in Wisconsin. This commission has no jurisdiction to even review the challenge to the pledged candidate, given one, he's not running for the office on November 5th, 2024, and is not a resident of this state. His being qualified or unqualified had nothing to do with prohibiting me and the nine other elector candidates from ballot access. Given we fulfilled all the requirements to Wisconsin election code and are fully qualified to be presidential elector candidates from Wisconsin. Let me remind the commission in 1984, like Dr. Sheba said earlier, Wisconsin placed a slate of presidential elector candidate on the ballot in Wisconsin, whose pledged candidate was Larry Holmes, and he was age 32, not the age of 35 required to assume the office of president. Presidential elector candidates can pledge their votes to anyone, including, with all due respect, like you said earlier, Mickey Mouse, Larry Holmes, Vladimir Putin. Anyone can run for the office of president as long as they get a slate of electors to get them to be the pledged candidate. After December 17th, when a specific slate of presidential elector candidates is appointed by state legislator of Wisconsin based on the November 5, 2024 results, only then can the qualifications of the pledged candidate from a particular slate be challenged. At that time of the counting, the electoral votes, which only Congress has jurisdiction over. This is why the Supreme Court, in a unanimous 9-0 decision in March of 2024, struck down the state of Colorado's ruling Trump was not qualified to serve for being an insurrectionist and thus should be removed from the ballot. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously that only Congress can make such a decision. States, the court ruled, can remove candidates running for state office from the ballot. States cannot remove candidates running for federal office from the ballot. Frankly, no pun intended, I have no idea why I'm here before the commission. I am the candidate. I received no challenge. The challenge made is defective, and this commission has no jurisdiction over that challenge. Therefore, the Wisconsin Election Commission must reject it and ensure me and my wife and the other 8 elector candidates remain on the ballot, period. Thank you. I will send this statement via email to the meeting, to the Election Commission, to protect the record. That's it.
Thank you. Commissioner Thompson.
Mr. Marshall, a question for you. How is it that you are a candidate? I'm trying to understand your logic, because you're not okay on the ballot, correct?
Well, Chapter 8, 8.25, which I quoted earlier, states what I read earlier, that a vote for the president and vice president nominations of any party is a vote for the electors of the nominees. That's in your chapter 8, 8.25. First paragraph, last sentence. I'm the candidate. It's your rules.
Anyone else have a question for Mr. Marshall? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Marshall. You'll be returned to the Bob, did you have a question for Mr. Marshall?
Yeah, I'd like to make the motion on page 34.
Okay, that's not a comment for Mr. Marshall. He can be moved back. Bob, go ahead. I apologize for interrupting you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I make the recommended motion on page 34.
Okay, there's a motion by Commissioner Spindell found on page 34. Is there a second? Commissioner Riepel seconds the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Y'all are really quiet. No discussion, huh? All right. Hearing none, I will call the roll on the motion. Commissioner Riepel?
Aye.
Commissioner Spindell?
Aye.
Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
Commissioner Bostelman?
Aye.
Commissioner Millis?
No.
Chair votes aye. The motion carries 5-1. All right. So that concludes our presentations on the challenges. It is now 12:35. We have two choices. We can start the ballot access portion, or we can go, Administrator Wolf, we're noticed to go in and back out of closed session. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Or we can go into our closed session meeting, have our lunch during closed session, and then return and resume with number E on our agenda. And I am open to how the commission prefers to proceed. Commissioner Spindell?
If nobody's hungry at this point, I just think this continue in the open session and then go into closed session and adjourn after that.
Okay. Since nobody seems to have an objection to that, we will do that. All right. Next on our list is to move to, the ballot access report. And who is presenting that report?
I will turn that over to our election administration supervisor, Riley Willman.
Okay, Riley, please go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, commissioners. So I'm here today to present on the ballot access for ballot status. And now that we have determined the challenges for the independent candidates for president and vice president, the memo is on page 173 of your materials. So first, there are two paths for a candidate to be placed on the ballot for president and vice president. For major political parties, for a reminder, that is the five party.
All right, everyone, you just heard what just took place. And what you saw was, this is what's called a complete fucking sham. All right. None of those commissioners had any response to either Frank's analysis or mine. They were absolutely shocked. And that's what you just saw in front of you. These people are all part of the swarm. Kamala Harris and Trump do not want us on the ballot. What they did was absolutely illegal. What they did was they did not even debate. And everyone, we have witnesses now. We have close to 700 witnesses who saw this. We presented the fundamental case that that commission has no fucking idea of the fact that they don't have jurisdiction over me. This is the foundations of the Electoral College. They didn't even want to touch that. And Frank's presentation was brilliant. It nailed it right on time. But they don't want to debate this issue because they do not want people like us coming bottoms up, learning the law and challenging them. You all just witnessed this. I don't have a law degree. Frank doesn't have a law degree. But we exposed the fact that Kamala Harris and Trump do not want Dr. Shiva on the fucking ballot. They have no argument. They have put people on the ballot. That same commission put a 32-year-old on the ballot in 1984. Why is it they don't want me on the ballot? Because they know that I'm leading a massive movement. They know that we will take significant votes away from Trump and Kamala Harris. This is dangerous to them. They just violated the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment right of the people of Wisconsin who signed those nomination papers, and they violated the right of all those 10 electors. We will fucking sue the shit out of them. That's what's going to happen. I will sue them, and the electors are going to sue them. That's what you just witnessed. What you witnessed was a total violation of the Constitution and the fact that they think that you or I do not even know how the Constitution works. The reality is most of them do not understand this foundation. Someone says it seems hard for others to understand what Dr. Shiva wants to say and prove. There's nothing to be hard to understand, everyone. It's pretty simple. In the United States, at every state, we're a republic. You do not vote for the office of president on November 5th. You vote for the office of electors. Those are representatives who are sent to Congress to vote for their pledged candidate. These people either don't know the law, or as I said, they're intentionally malicious. And the reality is they're intentionally malicious. But we have an amazing opportunity to learn. This is why our running for president, our movement, Shiva for President, running for president, gives all of you an opportunity to really learn the inner workings of the real election fraud. The real election fraud does not occur when the machines are flipped, which is what they do, or the signature verification, which is what I uncovered. The real election fraud occurs right now. Who they decide to put on the ballot and who they don't. The single commissioner, someone pointed out, he was the only true patriot. Yep, he gets it. He was the only true patriot. So one out of six is about 20%. And remember, only 20% of people is who you need to change the world. Remember, 30% of people always want to suck Zionist cock all day, okay? 50% of people watching which way the wind blows, and only 20% will do the right thing, all right? So understand that what you saw right now was our movement, Shiva for President, fighting for the rights of the American people. That's what you just saw. So if you saw this, go out there and volunteer for Shiva for President to not only get Dr. Shiva on the ballot, but more importantly, what I want to show you is what all of you can do right now. All of you, you should go to shivaforpresident.com. Go right to shivaforpresident.com right now and be defiant. Fight for yourself. I'm going to take you right here. If you want to change the world, you have to begin by wanting to fight for yourself. Go right here to the free download section and get this card. It says Save Yourself. Write in Dr. Shiva. And look what they're doing to us. You have to understand. Get these cards. You can download this card right now, right here at Shiva for President Downloads. Print this card out and start handing it out all over the world. If you don't want to print it out, we've made it easy. Just go to the shop right here. Click right here, and you can get 10,000 cards. We made it easy. We ship it. We give you 10,000 cards for $175. Get it. Start passing these cards out. We need, frankly, a significant revolutionary change in this country. And that revolutionary change is going to come from people who want to save themselves, not from these people who want to vote for Booby or Trump or fucking Kamala Harris, bunch of idiots who are puppets of the swarm. It's going to come from you. So it's time to rise up, get those cards, and start handing them out. We are going to take this all the way to court, all the way to the Supreme Court. They violated the U.S. Constitution, and you just saw it right in front of your eyes, didn't you? Did you see it? Did you see it?
Yep.
Pausing?
Yep.
All right. They want to shackle all of you, okay? They want to shackle you to a bunch of morons to represent you. But we have only begun to fight. And the way you can fight is decide to save yourself. Go to Shiva for President right now. Get those cards. Get those cards and start handing them out. Because if they're not going to put us on the ballot, we're going to make them pay for it big. Write us in. We're going to take every one of their votes away from Trump and Kamala Harris. We will make them pay for this. Make them pay. Be defiant. Write in Dr. Shiva. Don't give these people any of your votes because they're all part of the same team. And that's not our team. It's their team. Go to Shiva for President. Volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. As I close, I'm going to play our video, which will hopefully inspire you. And go to truthfreedomhealth.com and learn how to fight. If you don't know, want to learn, if you want to learn how to fight, we'll also teach you. Let me play our video here.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage and putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement, all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
All right, everyone. So I hope you understand that our movement, Shiva for President, doesn't compromise, doesn't give up like Booby fucking Kennedy. Booby fucking Kennedy just merged, so-called anti-vax mandate, Booby fucking Kennedy just merged with pro-Operation Speed, pro-vaccine guy, Trump, okay? You see, that's what they do. They capitulate. They're not independent movements. Shiva for President is the only movement that is independent and fighting for the rights of the American working class. And that's what we're doing. We're building a bottoms-up movement. So if you want to be on the right side of history, go to Shiva for President and get involved. If you want to be, you know, sucking Zionist cock, or you want to be on the wrong side, go for it. You can be the 30% who never do anything, and you can be the 50% who watch which way the wind blows and are opportunists. We don't want those people. But if you want to be an agent of change, go to ShivaForPresident.com, get those cards, get them out there, and be part of this incredible movement. Be well, be the light. Thank you.